Welcome to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast, where we try to figure out if it would be possible to run Westworld as an actual business. This exercise is going to cover the entire show, so be aware, spoilers will follow. Also, we're talking about running Westworld as a functioning business. This isn't a criticism of the story itself, as we understand there's dramatic license at work here. Please don't send us hate mail.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast. Today we have the usual suspects, Chris, Pat, Joe, and myself. And we're actually going to be starting to talk about log persistence and immutability. That sounds like a giant engineering topic, so obviously a product owner can't start that. Joe, why don't you give us a little bit of background on what we're talking about here?
Sure. Log persistence is exactly what it says. Logs should persist. They shouldn't be erased. They should live on. And immutability means you don't overwrite the logs. You don't change the logs. You just keep writing to new logs. You rotate the logs. And what it really means in layman's terms is once something is written down, it's in pen. You're not erasing it. You're not changing it. You're just continuing to write more.
Pat, did he get that right?
Give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay, that's close enough. let's be honest, that was better than you were expecting, right?
It is. That was for him, that's like an 11 out of 10.
Oh, that's even rougher. Wow. All right, so what would you correct or change, or what do you think?
I was just f***ing with him. No, it was a good answer.
Okay, so the first question that we've got here in our notes is, how do we know that they can even do this? I'm assuming in the notes here we mean they being the hosts or the item, you know, the robots.
Ooh,
that we've made.
Or I know.
Chris is raising his hand. Chris?
We don't know that they can do it.
Okay.
Mainly because, as I will continue to repeat throughout the course of this entire podcast, we are pretty sure they don't know how to do anything properly.
I'm gonna respond to that and say, we've made some assumptions in previous episodes that I think we're going to continue to do, that while they're the host hardware and the equipment that they have, you know, in the facilities is more advanced than what we have now today, it's not radically different. You know, logs still need to be written into some kind of memory. There's still effective limits to that memory, even if that amount is very, very high. The assumptions that would apply to normal computers, I think we can apply here. And I think it's reasonable to conclude that, based on what we're seeing there, where we're keeping memories for hosts for 35 years, memory's relatively cheap. The logs are not going to be more complicated than everything you experienced for, you know, half of a human lifetime. They're going to be able to persist logs. They're not going to run out of space. That seems like a pretty reasonable assumption.
But when the host gets wiped, what happened to the logs?
Well, what should happen is the logs should be stored not on the host. They should be stored somewhere else, and they should be stored, I don't know, forever? I mean, again, because we're seeing how cheap storage is on the hosts, they can store 35 years of memories in a head without any problem. It doesn't seem like there's a memory-based reason to delete the logs.
Okay, yeah, they should use gray log.
I feel like I'm missing something there.
We're going to cut that line.
No, really. For a system like this, all the hosts are recording their own logs, and all these logs should be streamed to a log aggregation server. Then anybody in HQ can filter out by hosts or filter out by whatever means. They can search for a certain part of a log and see all the hosts that are affected, every host that has logged this. It's a log aggregation and debugging tool.
Is that something that realistically we could do in real time, or just the amount of data that's coming into that seems crazy?
No, it's an actual tool that we use. I use it at work. It holds terabytes, petabytes of data.
Okay, that's fair. So it seems like we've got a couple notes here about things that they actually do correctly in the show. I see a note here about, Arnold talking to Dolores, asking her some basic things about how many interactions she's had with certain people or other hosts. She's able to pull that information up quickly, which is showing that they are actually doing some level of logging or at least some level of recording this information. They're maybe not doing, like Chris Set likes to say, every single thing wrong. There's at least glimmers of hope in a few scenes.
Okay, fair enough. But even in the example that you gave, he tells her to turn the log off.
Persistence.
Yeah, it's hard for a log to persist if you're just randomly deciding.
If you don't have one?
Well, yeah.
If you don't record it in the first place, it's hard to keep it around afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you can persist at nothing forever.
Multiply by zero, is that?
Exactly. Yeah.
So very obviously, as we've said in other shows, our area of notes of things that they've done right is very small. And the giant list of where things fall down is giant. Pat looks like he wants to chime in and start going down that list.
Well, I wanted to throw one more thing out that just occurred to me about credit where credit is due. Right in the beginning of the show, you know, they have that update with the reveries and it messes up a bunch of the hosts. But they're able to figure out which hosts have gotten this update. It suggests to me that they have recorded somewhere, somehow, who got it and who didn't. Because they didn't show them having to go through all of the hosts that there were to check to see if they had this update.
That's fair, yeah.
They only had to pull a tenth of them, something like that.
It was 10%, yeah. It was a rolling update.
Mm-hmm. So another time where they clearly have logged at least something. Now, maybe they don't persist that for very long, but...
At least there's something.
Right.
Right. All right, Chris, want to take us down the rabbit hole of things they do wrong? You're so good at it.
I feel like I'm going to become known for just being the guy that shits all over everything, but...
You're making the assumption that you're not already.
Thank you, Tom.
You're welcome, buddy.
Well, first off, it seems, at least from what we can see within the context of the show itself, there are some assumptions that we could probably make going back to what Pat said earlier about how those logs are being accessed. But from the perspective of the viewer, we only ever see the logs being accessed verbally through the host, which I don't really know if audio transmission of a host log is really the best way to go about doing things, nor do we really know if the immutability is staying constant, because apparently you could just tell the host to ignore whatever the hell you want in the log and they'll forget it anyways. But that's pretty much the big one. We know that logs aren't captured on important things. And going back to one, Arnold tells Dolores early on, stop recording. We see other instances of that where, for example, when Bernard ends up killing both...
I'll see.
Yes.
And...
And the other one.
I believe it's Charlotte.
Teresa?
Oh, Teresa,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Not Charlotte, I think that's the board member.
You're
right?
Correct.
Correct, yeah. Thank you both for saving me there.
You're
but
welcome.
In both of these cases, you have Bernard committing murder, and there is nothing in what one would presume is his activity being logged that captures any of that data. Not only from the memories themselves, which... One also has to wonder if maybe the memories are somehow linked to the host logs, just because of the way that this is all handled. And given that by nature, human memories are not immutable, that sounds like a horrible mix of things to do. But again, we don't know for sure that that's exactly what's happening. So I'm going to shit on that as a thing, but not lock it in.
I wanted to call out to our listeners that when we're talking about logs, we're specifically not talking about the host memories. Those seem to, they seem to remember everything all the time. That isn't what we're talking about. That's sort of an accidental thing. We're talking about intentionally logging particular things. Usually when you do logging, you log a significantly smaller subset of the things that happen, really just the ones you care about. So when we're talking about logging, we don't mean all of their memories. Even when the event log gets turned off, the fact that we're seeing this sort of in Dolores' flashbacks suggests these two systems are separate because Dolores is remembering things she's told not to remember in the logs.
So on the flip side of that, if I'm going to put my product hat on, these guys are going to tell me, well, I'm going to say we may not have to log every single thing. I only want the important things, like Pat, you just said. But I can guarantee Joe and Chris are going to tell me, no, BS, I want to log every single thing and be able to essentially replay any interaction that a host is going to have ever.
That's why you have log levels too.
Okay, so that's fair. So explain that.
So different log levels means that you can view things at different levels. That was stupid.
Take number two.
Take two. A debug log level will show you everything, every small interaction, and the highest log level would be error logs. It will only display errors. In a production environment, when you are viewing logs, you're typically looking just at error logs. You only care about what things went wrong. When you're developing something, you usually have it set at debug, so you can see every interaction, look at any change to see if it's changed to be what it should be. And anything in between is usually somewhere like an info level or a warning level. Warning is, hey, there's something going wrong, not quite an error. You pretty much define your own log levels, though.
And the end result there is that if you're at the debug level, you're getting an enormously larger amount of information than if you were just getting the error level. So this helps with analysis and debugging to have these different volumes of logs, as it were.
Even so, it looks like the debugging is suspect in the cases that we see, though. I mean, any of the debugging that's happening, you should have faith in the logs as you're going through them, that they're essentially a source of truth, and that you can rely on them to accurately perform your debugging. That is the entire purpose of debugging logs, unless one of you wants to correct me there. Okay. The fact that we can have people working with the hosts try and have hosts recall items from their logs that the hosts can intentionally manipulate into falsehoods proves that there are some major issues there. For example, the fact that that young Robert host tells old Robert at one point that Arnold told him to kill the dog. Can't really explain why. Can't really go into what happened. I mean, you're trying to get accurate, repeatable data. And part of this probably goes back to the fact that you're trying to verbally access these logs rather than read them. I guess whatever helps your friendly debugging tools, having a host actually just spit the words right out at you is probably the easiest way to do it. But you need to be able to rely on what they're saying. And we see in a couple instances, if we want to go back to me giving a small sliver of credit, that there have been occurrences where they will tell the host to stop using their emotional matrix as they're going through debugging processes and accessing those logs. I remember seeing it once. I can't really remember exactly where it was. But that's a small credit. Like the fact that the data itself can be changed in when Arnold is supposedly accessing things, we see that modified multiple times. And it's not just the hosts themselves either. Although you have things like Maeve has her attributes changed in an unlogged session. You have things where we have transmitters that are apparently sending things out that haven't been logged. We have hosts that aren't logged. This treads on a lot of common ground, but it's hard to persist any of this information if we're not recording it in the first place. And it's really hard to access and trust it if all we're doing is listening to a host talk.
So we've talked a little bit here about why all this would be good for debugging purposes or repeatability. There is one point in the show where logs would have been a great thing to have, right? I'm trying to find another use for all these things. And that is, we end up with a part where the QA team is essentially accusing Bernard and his team of putting shoddy code in. But besides what we find out is a completely manufactured situation to give that that situation, she's got no data behind it. And it feels like the logging and the stuff that we were talking about could have, if this was all in place, could have been a good thing to use to back up the story and actually possibly find what actually happened.
Well, I mean, the whole point of a change log is that you can change it, right?
No, the answer is no.
So for anyone that may have not entirely caught that, the whole thing that Tom is talking about is if we have change logs or commit logs for when this code is going in, it's fairly easy to go back and reference who's made these changes, who's pushed them. It is pretty much shown through that botched RCA encounter.
Can you define that real quick?
Sure, root cause analysis.
Thank you.
Would you like me to go into more depth on root cause analysis?
I'm sure we'll do it in another episode, but yeah. If you want the 30-second explanation, go for it.
Sure. I won't even take 30 seconds on it. Root cause analysis is exactly what it says on the tin. It's going back and finding what the problem was and determining how you can prevent it happening in the future. So when they were trying to figure out how a host could go completely crazy and assault someone, being able to accurately reference who put the code in and when would be extremely helpful. The fact that it is possible to modify said commit logs and change who appeared to have put in code and when is a huge, huge no-no. You can't accurately hold people accountable for any of the code that they're pushing if you can willy-nilly change who supposedly pushed the code in.
But it's great for a blame game, right? I'm going to check in a bunch of code and blame Pat.
Well, I mean, you can do that now without having to...
You could just see my code.
But yeah, it's entirely unhelpful, even if I can't imagine a situation where you would want the ability to do that, but it's incredibly detrimental. I mean, unless you're a malicious actor to begin with, but like, it's not helpful whatsoever in any constructive process.
Feels like a lot of the stuff we're centering around is logs, whether they are things that come out of the hosts, logs of changes that operators are making on servers, or logs of what code was put in. We're kind of really viewing those logs as they should be the source of truth. Is that a way of putting it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point of using them to analyze your problems later, is that you have a reliable source of information. If you can't rely on the logs, if the things that they tell you could be false, well, then all you've added here is really just another story or set of stories to what could possibly be causing this. When you're trying to debug an issue, have it something that we'd run into, now some small off by one error, or what they're running into with the show, with hosts killing each other.
You can't actually kill a robot, Pat.
I appreciate your help. Thank you. In any one of these situations, you're a detective, and to figure out what happened, you need facts. And when I'm going to mangle this analogy. If you have people lying to you, it's a lot harder to know what the truth is. These logs have to be correct, and they have to say the same thing forever.
I would expand on that a little bit, and probably argue that exactly to your point, you are better off not having logs at all than having logs that contain falsehoods.
Because that's why I don't use my fitness pal. Like, yeah, I only had 2 slices of pizza.
That's entirely accurate. Thank you, Joe. If you have maliciously poor use of your logging functionality, as in Joe's eating habits, then you might as well not capture the data at all because you know you can't trust it. It's costing you time and money to actually capture that data. And then if you can't rely on it in the future, so now we're going to waste additional time on top of the time and money that we've already wasted capturing the bad data in the first place to chase that down and then not rely on it and continue to go in this circular down the rabbit hole approach where eventually we hopefully find the root cause, but it didn't have anything to do with the logging that we had in place to begin with.
So how do we catch that? How do we not let that happen, right? The whole point of this is things that we would change. Obviously, we want to log more, be more efficient. It's the source of truth, but let's be honest, engineers are people. People make mistakes. How do we make sure that we're actually logging the correct things?
I don't necessarily know that it's around the question that we have right now isn't, are we logging the correct things?
Fair.
I think it's more of,
is it the
truth?
We
just keep hammering home. Right. It's the immutability aspect of it, right? It's, can we trust that it has not been modified in any way, shape, or form, that it is being correctly, I mean, you said correctly gathered, you know, the right data.
Yeah.
It's more of, are we properly capturing the data that we're looking for? Are we making sure that it's not modified? It's like there's a word for this. Joe, do you happen to know it?
No, I don't.
Immutability. So anyhow,
he gave you a softball on that one, man. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I did the freaking introduction.
So yeah, it's, I think we can go round and round on this one, but it's a pretty straightforward argument. It's, if you can't trust your logs, don't waste your time doing them. If you want to trust your logs, make sure that people can't edit them, that you are not overwriting them, and you're making them accessible.
Good. You turned it around there at the end, because the follow-up question I was going to have is, I like the word trust. How can you trust the logs, and how could we build that trust over time? So I think you hit a lot of that in the last part of your couple statements there.
See, it's not all bad.
Like Pat said at the beginning, 8 out of 10, right? That's not bad.
That's very gracious.
There you go.
So essentially, to summarize, it comes down to one core thing. If you can't trust your logs, you are better off not capturing them. Make sure that it's something that's accurately captured, not modifiable. Pretty simple.